Our Rocky Weather forecast says it's going to be variably cloudy with a chance for showers and thunderstorms. High today around 80. The Pro Golf Association says it's a sellout of the daily grounds tickets for this coming Saturday and Sunday's championship round play at the PGA Championships at Whistling Straits. Only limited daily tickets remain for Thursday and Friday rounds. Tickets for practice rounds, which began today, also are available. Jason Mengel, director of the PGA Championships, says the excitement for this event has been remarkable at every level. It's been a school choice bias set up on the Task Force for Urban Education, announced recently by the State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. We get details from Bob Haig.
That's from Scott Ross with the liberal group One Wisconsin Now.
I think that if the speaker wanted to do something about education in our cities, he would stop stealing money from public schools to give them to unaccountable privatized opportunities.
Speaker Robin Voss has named 8 Republicans and 5 Democrats to the task force.
Every single member of this committee on the Republican side has received financial support from those supporting private schools, as well as from their industry groups as well, that do a ton of spending.
It's one of 3 task forces named by Voss. The other 2 will study youth workforce readiness and Alzheimer's and dementia. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
In Kenosha, police say a man tried to steal some money out of the drawer of a register that a cashier had just opened up at the Pick and Save store on 63rd Street. He did grab some cash, but didn't get far away. It happened around dinner time. The suspect, checking out at the time, he grabbed what turned out to be about $180, ran, but was chased by employees and security personnel. They stopped and detained him until police arrived. Nobody got hurt. A proposed immunity law for Wisconsin campground owners and their employees is not a good idea. That's according to Milwaukee attorney Ann Jacobs, who points out the state already has about 3 dozen such laws on the books that give businesses immunity from being held legally responsible in cases of accidents, injuries, even deaths on their property. Jacobs says that a law like that proposed for campground owners and employees, that would take away a basic constitutional right.
People will talk to no end about preserving their First Amendment rights, their Second Amendment rights. They want to hold the government to their Fourth Amendment rights and their search and seizure rights, and everybody forgets about the poor Seventh Amendment, which is our right to a jury trial.
She says no matter how much legislators wish it were not so, people and businesses can and will act unreasonably, and the civil justice system exists to protect people from unreasonable or negligent acts. And Target says it's going to begin using gender-neutral signs in its children's product areas. A tweet showing a sign distinguishing between building sets and girls' building sets went viral on social media earlier this summer. This will not be reflected, though, in the way that items are offered on Target's website, where gender is often used as a search term. Tonight's meeting of the Racine County Economic Development and Land Use Planning Committee at the Isgrove Office Complex Auditorium. That includes the latest regarding ordinance revisions for beekeeping in parts of Racine County, and after a June public hearing and work by county planning staff. Consideration was to include setbacks from property lines, handling complaints from neighbors, and flyaway barriers to cause bees to fly up and away if they leave the hive. Meanwhile, state workers are turning to farmers, experts, and other agricultural stakeholders trying to find plans that'll restore honeybees and other pollinators in Wisconsin. Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection spokesperson Donna Gilson says it's all part of a much larger effort.
From the federal level all the way down to local level, there have begun to be efforts to try to protect these insects that are really vital to agriculture and to our food supply.
A meeting is scheduled at the Arlington Ag Research Station on Wednesday. The input from the meeting is going to be used to develop a plan that will be released for public comment. State Department of Transportation says the continuing reconstruction of the Highway 20 bridge at I-94 in Racine County is going to result in some closures from 9 p.m. Tuesday through 5 a.m. Wednesday. Concrete has to be poured for the bridge on the southbound side, and as a result, 20 between the frontage roads is going to be closed, as well as the northbound exit and southbound exit ramps. Highway C, 58th Road, and the frontage roads away from 20, those can be used for detours. Also, the northbound 20 entrance ramp will be closed as part of this latest project phase. The detour will be the east frontage road to Highway K, then up onto the interstate. And gasoline prices, they continue to decline here in Wisconsin, AAA putting the statewide average lately at $2.57. That's down a nickel from a week ago, a 19-cent drop over the past month. Wednesday night of this week, Caledonia Mount Pleasant Memorial Park, there's going to be a public information meeting regarding a proposed rock music festival, August the 22nd. Some of the neighbors have raised concerns about it. 6 p.m. gathering called by the Joint Parks Commission will provide information about the event, which is promoted as being for all ages. Village representatives will also be there to answer questions or address concerns. The festival could draw some 3,000 spectators and is being presented by GZK Entertainment. That's Route 20 Outhouse owner Ray Steinbeck's company, the same one that put on the Kraut Music Festival and which is planning another music event in October. Several Kenosha aldermen would like to loosen the city's regulation on al fresco restaurant dining. Restaurants and bars are allowed to put tables and chairs out on the sidewalk outside after they get a permit. But there are some rules, as Alderman Patrick Giuliana found out recently at one downtown establishment when he stopped outside, cocktail in hand.
The whole dining area outside was full. There was people out there eating, there was people out there drinking, and I'm standing there and I'm having a conversation with these people, and one of the employees come outside and he said, sir, you're going to have to either take your drink inside and drink it inside or stay inside till it's done and come back outside because, you know, we can get a ticket for this. And I went, you what?
There's a seating requirement with the alfresco dining ordinance, something Giuliana figures was inserted when it was adopted years ago to calm the fears of aldermen apprehensive about allowing people to drink on the sidewalk. The council's licensing and permit committee will consider removing that seating requirement at its meeting coming up tonight. The Northwoods League Kenosha Kingfish, in just their second year, managed to tie for the best overall regular season record with 49 wins and 23 losses. And tonight, they'll be hosting their first playoff game against the La Crosse Loggers starting at 7:05. The Kingfish also have the Northwoods League's Manager of the Year in former Major Leaguer Duffy Dyer. Now, he got that same honor back in 1985 with the Midwest League when he managed the old Kenosha Twins to a championship. In between then and now, Dyer, who is 70 years old, was manager of the year for the Milwaukee Brewers AA team in El Paso. August is Child Support Awareness Month, and the U.S. having the second highest rate of relative child poverty among economically developed nations, the leading personal finance website WalletHub did a little in-depth analysis of the best and worst states for underprivileged children. New Hampshire tops the best states list, followed by New Jersey and Minnesota, with Wisconsin ranking sixth. District of Columbia's last, ahead of Mississippi and Arizona. WalletHub looking at 15 key metrics ranging from infant death rates to child food insecurity rates and the percentage of maltreated children. Racine's Finance and Personnel Committee is meeting later this afternoon. Among the agenda items, a request to go after a $25,000 DNR Urban Forestry grant to match the $25,000 planned in next year's capital improvement budget that's needed toward emerald ash borer response. Also an update on Alderman Terry McCarthy's original proposal for creating a paid time off program for all general employees of the city. And a couple of closed door matters the agenda says need to be private for reasons related to competitive bargaining. That is allowed by law. The Mount Pleasant Village Board meeting tonight includes a closed session regarding Finance Director Terry Gayhart. A return to open session will follow the board to act on any motions made relative to that private session. Before that, the Village Board is to consider creation of a 260-acre, 19-parcel tax incremental financing district. It could lead to well over $100 million in future development. The new TIF runs west of the current industrial park, along Washington Avenue to the interstate and south to Rybar Trucking. Included will be a 155,000-square-foot spec building, which is scheduled for construction later this year. The board tonight will be voting on borrowing $2.19 million for the installation of sewer and water lines, as well as roads. Officials from the Village of Caledonia, Mount Pleasant, and Sturtevant will gather Wednesday evening. They'll be talking about mutual interest in formation of a school district separate from Racine Unified. That meeting will be taking place at 7:15 p.m. at the Eastside Community Center on Douglas Avenue. Racine Unified Administration still trying to unravel all the mysteries of the state budget and all of its mandates. One of the components, though, is going to affect high schoolers. It's a requirement to pass a civics test. Chief Academic Officer Rosalie Daca, during a recent school board work session, explained they're still working on details for the students to take the civics test, possibly online. As a whole, the district, she noted, no longer going to be getting a letter grade, but rather the star system will be used.
It is a five-star system, and they're using the same terms that they used before. You either significantly exceed, meet few, or fail to meet expectations. So we have no action to take on that until the state determines what our stars will be.
And she said that parents are going to have to be told by the district per the state budget about their educational options.
As far as schools go, including private and voucher schools, and they also require us to notify parents of students with disabilities about the existence of that special needs voucher program, so that'll be incorporated into that same notification.
And she says the budget allows Unified the option to offer high school students credit for alternative methods of learning, as well as to recognize different learning styles. AccuWeather forecast, variably cloudy, still a chance for afternoon showers and thunderstorms. High today around 80. I'm Tom Karkle, WRJN News.